you guys. Welcome back to Gen Y. You're tuning in to Gen Y with your host, Asphira, on DRN1. Today, we are talking about why do we get into toxic relationships? Oh, I know, right? Oh, so stay tuned because we are going to probably rip into my gay ex-boyfriend. Okay, so where do we start? So the first thing that I want to talk about is the signs of toxicity. First of all, how do we define a toxic relationship? It is can be defined as where dysfunction is normal. It's constantly draining. There's a lack of mutual support and empathy. So if you feel like you can vibe with this kind of relationship, maybe it's time to reconsider. There are different types of toxic relationships, and I feel like sometimes one toxic relationship can have a multitude of these. And so we're going to check out some of them. There are eight that we're going to talk about today, which is a tasty amount, to be fair. The first type of toxic relationship is the deprecator and belitterer. This one is when the individual constantly bullies you, essentially, makes you feel small, belittles you, implying that you're pretty much nothing without them, that you're like lucky to have this person as your partner. And that makes you have zero self-esteem. Thank goodness, I don't think I've ever been a part of a relationship that's like this, because I think this is like overtly toxic. If you're in a relationship like this, definitely be like, this is not right. This is messing with my mental space. And thank goodness that this is like a super obvious thing, because they will say things like, they will gaslight you. Sometimes they'll be like, or manipulate you to thinking that, you're thinking of something else. So it's like, I'm just kidding. You know, can't you take a joke? Like, no, you're just bullying me. And the second type that we can talk about is the bad temper toxic partner. So this is the ones who just get angry, just lose their absolute mind when something little happens. And you have to constantly walk on eggshells around them, and they never know, like you would never know what sends them into this like rage around. And also, you always feel like you're the victim emotionally, but then also they feel like they're the victim. So everyone's the victim. And it's like, you feel constantly like crap, and it's so draining. Me personally, I don't think I've had, not this type, but the next type, the guilt inducer. Oh boy. Oh yeah. This is something that I'm more familiar with a past relationship of mine. He would always guilt trip me, makes me feel like crap for doing anything. If I didn't hang out with him that week, then he would make me feel like I did something wrong and I wasn't a good like girlfriend. And I'm like, I'm sorry, I'm just busy. Like, I have a life outside of this relationship too. And it's almost like you weren't with him. Like, sorry, if I wasn't with him, then it's like the world is over. And it's not a good feeling, because you start to feel like you're supposed to take care of them. And this is, okay, so apparently I'm reading an article, by the way, guys. So it's like this sense of disappointment every single time that you do something, you do anything that doesn't really align with them or they don't really want you to do. They're like, oh, just really disappointed in you, that kind of stuff. That is not good. And they always like come up with the excuse of like, oh, I'm not trying to hurt you, but this and that and the other thing. It's like, no, that's a red flag, sister. Number four is the overreactor / deflector. So this is like when you do anything, they like suddenly just overreact. And if you tell them that you are unhappy, hurt, or angry about something, you find yourself like talking about their unhappiness suddenly, and it like they switch the story between you raising your own issue to making it about them. It's a very, I suppose, narcissistic tendencies. So that's not good either. But then also on the like opposite spectrum of that, you have the deflector, where they just kind of like deflect everything that you would like say that it's a, let's say you were feeling like, oh, I feeling really unhappy right now. Could, you know, can we talk about this? And instead of speaking to you and communicating with you or spending more time with you, they instead would like stay out later because they just don't want to deal with your stuff. And it's, that's also not good because that is an unsupportive partner. The fifth type is the over-dependent partner. This is where it's like, this is a passive form of control. And this means that you literally just experience constant fatigue because, and fatigue and anxiety because it's, they always leave it up to you to make every decision. So like the emotional burden of the relationship is constantly on one person. It's always one-sided. And that's also not good because that means that you are basically taking care of two people at once, which it's like, it's hard enough to take care of yourself, like let alone another person. So like this, this is something that I've had multiple experiences with two boyfriends in a row, actually. You'd think I learned after the first one, who turned out to be gay, but I didn't, because clearly she was a little sick in the head. She's much better now. But yeah, like I remembered being in this one relationship where I constantly had to kind of put up ideas. And at one point, I suppose I had to pay for a lot of the things. And when we both didn't have the funds, we just couldn't do anything. And it just got kind of bland and boring. And that's not to say like staying at home and just chilling is a bad thing. But like after a while, especially when you're really unhappy, you feel like you're just being dragged down by them. And that's not a good feeling to have at all, because a healthy relationship, as we'll talk about in the next few segments, is supposed to let you grow and breathe. And in this one, I just felt really suffocated. And like, it was just not a good experience because a lot of the emotional burden was on me. I had to be the one who like pushed him to do things, which also isn't good because like you should have your own aspirations. And that was like another burden to me. And that's no fault of like their own, because that means they're just dealing with their own stuff. And we're going to get onto that about why people get into toxic relationship in the first place or stay within toxic relationships. Number six is the independent, in quotation marks, or non-dependable toxic controller. And these people just like flaky as hell. that's the way to describe it. It's just that they're just flaky. You're always uncertain about what to say or what they're going to say. There is nothing about them that serves you security. And that's not good, because in a relationship, security is good, because that means you're able to express yourself without fear and also be able to grow. Talk about growth again. But yeah, like when somebody constantly don't know what the heck is going on with them, that's like stressful, especially for somebody who is just like, who's young and like trying to figure out their own life. And then suddenly they have to like figure out what's going on with another person as well. Like that's, that is not good. Number seven is the user. I mean, this is just like classic textbook toxic relationship, is when one person just uses the other person. Like that's abuse. That is not a symbiotic relationship. That is not a good one. It's one way in nature, and the fact that you will never end up giving them enough. It's never enough. Like you feel like you're never enough for them because they're constantly just taking and taking from you, but you get nothing back. So it's as if there's no reinforcement or I don't want to say prize, but you know, in terms of like psychology, negative reinforcement, you know, positive punishment and all sorts of stuff, it's in that kind of same realm. And number eight is the possessive controller. This is another textbook one, when they just like suffocate you and drown you because they're so possessive. It's like you're no longer a person, you are their object to absolutely own and play with. And you, when you're in toxic relationships, like you really don't feel it. You don't, because it just like, it's just the norm, it's just how it is, and it's just what you do. And like that's it's just not something that you want to be a part of, right? But you don't know that. And this is where like your friends like really come in handy, is when you have to like listen to what they're saying about your relationship sometimes, I understand that relationships are between two people, but when there is toxicity happening and when they can see that you've changed as a person in like the worst way, then it's time for you to listen to your friends and reflect upon the relationship. Also with COVID-19, toxic relationships have been kind of, I suppose, through the roof because you can't escape them. And that's like, and also that when you don't have space, enough space between two people, between you and your partner, it's really easy to fall into these like toxic flow of things, which isn't good. Like healthy relationships can turn toxic, and toxic ones can absolutely rehabilitate, I suppose you could use that word. So it's not like be all and end all, but you do need to understand that like relationships become toxic because of two people. It's not just like a one person thing. But first of all, before we get into that, why do we keep getting into toxic relationships? Let me think about that for a second, right? You may end up getting into a toxic relationship if you rush into the relationship and commit too soon before knowing the other person well enough. Ignore the red flags or are part of a vicious cycle. Ignoring red flags is like a huge thing. Like, especially I think for young girls, because you just, I suppose sometimes you fall in love with the idea of like a relationship and the romance and the fireworks and the pretty flowers. And it's sometimes like you choose to ignore the red flags. It's like, oh, and like when girls fall for like guys or other girls who do the bare minimum, I'm like, oh, sir, excuse me, ma'am. You should have higher standards than that. The standards is on the ground. I don't even want, like, it stresses me out how low the standard is. Like, oh, what was the, I was like talking to my friend and she was talking about her boyfriend and she was saying about how like, oh my God, like, look, he asked me if I wanted to come over and I was like, do you want me to? And he was like, up to you. And I'm like, huh? That's cute to you? What the heck? What does that even mean? Why would you think that's cute? Oh God. It just like, that's just the bare minimum. He literally just asked like if you wanted to hang out and didn't even give like a definitive like yes or no. Like, I want you here. Like, he didn't choose you. He just left it up to you. And that's the bare minimum. It's like when I was watching, what's the show? I was watching Married at First Sight. No, whatever. Don't worry about it. I was watching Married at First Sight. And one of the brides, like, I just really like how he looks at me when I'm speaking and he listens. And I'm like, babes, listening should be something that's totally natural and normal. That's just being a decent human being. That's not necessarily being like, oh my God, perfect husband material. No, that's just decency. The standard is so low, it like gets me riled up. But then also there are two main reasons why we repeatedly get into toxic relationships. One is that we have a wrong concept of what a relationship should be, and we form these things called a fantasy bond or an imaginary perception of the relationship or what we want it to be or what they could be. We fall in love with the potential of people. I have been known to do this. A guilty as charged. This is why none of my friends have approved of my previous boyfriends before. Because it's always just like, oh, he has like these talent. He's so talented. He's so talented. And yet why is he not using it? And then I would always want to like encourage them to a certain way. But then it's like, I have to just breathe for a second and realize that I can't change who they are. They're going to be who they are regardless of like whether I'm around or not. And it's like, it's not my job to change them or teach them anything. It's not my job to perpetuate them to grow either. It should all just happen, if that makes sense. And like falling in love with the potential, I think it's much worse than, this isn't my personal opinion, I think it's much worse to fall in love with the potential of somebody than falling in love with an idea of somebody. Because when you fall in love with a potential, that keeps you going. It's like somebody's putting like a carrot in front of you and just dragging it along. And you're just like, oh my God, yes, 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 yes. Because it's like you there is this prize, there's this goal that you think you're going to reach with them, but it's not going to happen because you're just dating a deadbeat. That's so harsh, but like true. And then second is that it's our own unresolved emotional conflict. And this is true. This is why you should seek help. Go see a therapist. but Yeah, when you have your own traumas that are unchecked, not necessarily solved, because trauma lingers. It does. You work on it, but it's not going to be healed. Well, it will be healed, but it's not going to be like, it's not like a cold where it's just over. But yeah, when you let mental illnesses go unchecked, that sometimes can be projected onto your relationships, and that gets dangerous quite quickly. And like, when in a relationship, you talk about loyalty, right? And loyalty can be a confusing term. It's a loaded term, and it's often used for a reason that people stay in toxic relationships, because you want that stability. But it's like, what are you grappling to? Nothing. The relationship itself isn't stable. So like, what are you doing wasting your time? And what you need to know is this, like, when loyalty comes with a diminishing sense of self, it's not loyalty, it is submission. You should be careful not to submit to other people. And breaking away from toxic relationships can absolutely feel like tearing a barbed wire with bare hands. The more you do it, the more it hurts. So for a while, you don't tear anymore, because it's like, it hurts, it's freaking a barbed wire. But then you realize it's not the tearing that hurts, it's the barbed wire. It's the relationship that hurts. And whether you tear at it or not, it won't stop cutting into you, because you're in that, you're stuck in it. And that doesn't jiggle your mind, I don't know what will be. There's also your own behavior to talk about when it comes to toxic relationships, right? Because it's not just a one person thing. So like, let's look into our own behaviors contributing to a toxic relationship. So number one, you withhold affection or compliments. So it's like conditional. Your love for them is conditional on the condition that they act the way that you want them to act. That's falling in love with the idea of the person. Sorry to say, but that creates a really toxic environment for both people. Number two is that you're passive aggressive. You can't like speak to them frankly, and that's not good communication. That is unhealthy communication. And if you give them a silent treatment all the time, like, how are they going to know anything? Then it becomes like that really sour relationship where everybody just treads very lightly, and there's zero security in that. And there's no trust. And I think the most important part of relationship is trust. Because trust brings on security, and then that is bred out of love, right? And so, gotta think about that. Oh, and also the third one is that you intentionally play with your partner's feelings, including trying to make them jealous. Oh, that is very toxic. In a relationship that's healthy, you don't feel the need to test the other person's feelings or manipulate each other to like check out whether they're actually really into you or not. It shouldn't feel like, you should just feel it. You should just know it's something that is within you. You feel it in your gut. You feel it in your heart that they care about you. You don't need to make them jealous on purpose or do something to harm them in order to like understand where their trust is to you, because that's an unhealthy need for affirmation, and you should seriously do some self-reflection, because perhaps then that's another like an unresolved issue, you know. But that's not like be all and end all. There is also this idea and this notion, one of my ex-boyfriends actually said this to me too. Okay, this whole episode I've just been like, this is my experience with all these mildly iffy ex-boyfriends. Actually, like, my past two boyfriends haven't been bad at all. Like, they've been wonderful people. It's just that it hadn't worked out, because one of them turned toxic. The other one was just kind of like, oh, I don't even want to talk about that one. the most recent one, oy, oy, oy. That one has a lot of drama right now, but it's not like I'm not involved in it. It's just kind of like in the background, you know? But he said, my most recent ex-boyfriend, he said that people are drugs. You get addicted and it's hard to leave. And he told me this when we broke up. And that, for some reason, that hurt me a lot, because because that confirmed to me that what he felt towards me was just kind of like a fleeting infatuation instead of real feelings. He fell in love with the idea of me. And once you understand that, it's like, it's easier to grieve over a relationship once you understand that it isn't you. So that's little trick up there. But yeah, I thought it was just really interesting that he said people are like drugs, you get addicted and it's hard to leave, because it's true. You get like that little hit of like serotonin and dopamine, and then you, that like makes you stay, you want to stay. And that is not healthy, people. So in the next segment, we are going to talk about how to navigate a new relationship. So stick around, ladies and gentlemen. Okay, welcome back. So I know the first segment was a little bit dreary because it was just a lot of like, toxic this, toxic that. Do you have toxic tendencies? But this next segment is a little bit more like heartwarming, I suppose. So we're going to talk about how to navigate new relationships. Oh, it's exciting. It's scary. It's so scary because you like someone so much and you don't want to ruin things with them. And sometimes if you have had past relationships, you're fearful that perhaps you're going to drive them away because people say that you're too intense. Can you tell I'm speaking from personal experience? But one thing, the first thing that I want to talk about is to check in with yourself when you're starting to get to know somebody and like navigating a new relationship. Check in with yourself. Are you emotionally available? Because that's super important. If you're not emotionally available, then don't waste your time or their time, because that's a lot of energy. And I was talking to my boyfriend about this. Yes, I have another one. Shocker. If you know me, it's kind of like, who am I? Taylor Swift. I love her though. I love Taylor Swift. But I was talking to my boyfriend about this, and I was saying about how I have very limited energy. I'm like one of those game characters that has an HP bar, and it's just like each move I make like takes one bar and I get exhausted. And so it's like, if you are emotionally unavailable, you'll get so exhausted so quickly. And that's a waste of your time and energy. You know, you don't want to be doing that. And are you happy by yourself? Because you know how the saying goes, it's like, if you don't love yourself, then you can't love somebody else. I think it's less about loving yourself and more about being content and okay being on your own and being single and being, because you are already a whole person. You don't need another half. You're not half a person. You are whole. You have your own heart. You have your own ambitions. You have your own dreams. And that's enough. And if you don't feel like you are enough, then nobody else is going to think that you're enough. And if you're unhappy by yourself, and if you can't spend time alone by yourself and do things that you love alone and don't have things to do by yourself, then perhaps you're not ready to share a life with another person. And also, do you have a good support system around you? Support systems are insanely important. Like, I've learned this, I suppose, the really, really hard way. Like, when I was younger, I didn't really have a very good support system, mostly because I was too scared to reach out. I didn't know how to. I didn't know who would kind of respond healthily and well to it. And so I just kind of kept it in on my own, and it kind of burst because I just couldn't handle it. Because you can't handle all your like crap alone. That's just impossible. And if you don't have a good support system around you, it's very easy to fall into, one, toxic relationships, or two, being insanely dependent on the person that you are dating. That's not good, because you're like dampening their own identity, and that's something that you don't want to do. And a good support system also makes it easier when you go through heartbreak. It was to 2020. I got broken up twice in 2020. How screwed up is that? Let's never repeat that again. That was like a hell of a time. But it made it so much easier. It was so much easier because I had the best people around me. I had my bestest friends. I was living with my bestest friends. And it just made every day easier to grief and to let go eventually. And that's the way that, because you can't deal with heartbreak and coop up heartbreak by yourself, because that's dampening your own individuality. You know, you're supposed to grow and feel free and liberated and not trapped within your own heartbreak. And another thing in terms of navigating a new relationship is to get to know the person and not rush things. Take your time. I'm such I'm so impatient though. That's the thing. So when I was researching this episode, I was like scrolling on the internet and I found this about getting to know the person. Don't rush into things. Take your time. And I'm like, grr, I'm so impatient. I can't do that. If I really, really, really like somebody and think that I can love them, I'm like, yes, you are my person. Let's do this. Screw it. Screw everything. We'll give it a go. So I'm that kind of person. But sometimes you do have to take it slow. Take your time to know the person. The thing is, like, everyone has like a different perception of how much time is appropriate for them. Like, some people can, like, it's okay. For instance, say you've only just known each other, but you hang out a lot. Like, say within the week, you hang out 3 times a week. You're going to get to know them pretty quickly. And it's like, even in those dating shows, like Love Island, Married at First Sight, they get to know each other insanely quickly just because of the proximity and the distance and just the sheer amount of time that they spend together within a short period of like time frame. I'm using the word time a lot. And like, it's important just to make note of warning flags, because some flags are not necessarily red, but they're not necessarily green. So they do be orange though. If there are orange flags, you kind of like raise the questions and really reflect on this and don't be afraid to let them go. That's the thing that I really struggle with sometimes, is letting people go. When I've invested quite a lot of my time and energy into it, because like I said, I have a limited HP bar. So like, once I invest in something, I give it my all until I absolutely just deplete myself of all this energy, because then I have nothing else to spend. But like, never ignore the red flags. Never ignore the red flags. I was a dumb, silly girl when I was younger, because I chose to ignore the red flags. So I was reading my diary entries from like 2016. So this was my, that was the year that I got my very, very first boyfriend. We lasted for a year. Oh wait, no, that wasn't my very first boyfriend. That was my second boyfriend. It was like a proper boyfriend, you know? I was reading about our first date, and it was off to already a bad start. So he messaged me being like, hey, want to hook up? And I was like, haha, no. But then I went on a date with him anyway. Literally, why? That's already a massive red flag. And then on the date, I remember being at this Korean dessert bar in the city. And he was like, okay, disclosure, female anatomy. Not disclosure, what is it? It's not trigger warning though. Anyways, so he was like, can I touch your vagina? And I'm like, what? No, I don't want you to touch my vagina. And he was like, what about your boobs? And I'm like, huh? No. But then we continued on the day. I spent the whole day with him, the whole day. How did I ignore 2 red flags? That was so obvious. And he kept like trying to grab me in like the worst places, in public and also just like on my body. I'm like, oh God, this is so uncomfortable. I felt really uncomfortable the entire time. And yet I don't know why I didn't escape. That's the thing. It's like, I felt so uncomfortable, but I felt so trapped in it that I couldn't leave. I mean, I guess that just speaks to where I was mentally back then. Isn't that right? But like, all these red flags, I just kept ignoring them. It means, and there's such obvious red flags too. Silly goose. And also another thing when you're navigating a new relationship is communicate your feelings. Talk it out. Don't be ambiguous. Make honesty and openness a big deal. So it's like, you know, when you're like starting to see someone and everything's just kind of a bit like blasé and a bit like ambiguous, because everyone's afraid to talk about their feelings because it's scary. Ugh. Yeah. So don't do that, because choose courage every day. You only need 20 seconds of courage. That's all you need. That's all you need to say, I love you. That's all you need to say, hey, you need to talk. 20 seconds, that's all you need. It shows respect for them and respect for yourself. Because when things get complicated when people don't communicate and when feelings are kind of left up in the air. Like, no, So it's like you always have to have check-in points. Check-in points are so important. Like before my current boyfriend and I started like being like officially together, I would always bring up like, hey, I just want to say that sometimes I feel like I don't know what the boundaries are between us because there is no agreement on what we are. And then he would explain his side and then we would communicate and it'd be like, okay, so this is going to be the step that we take next. And like, that's good communication. I feel that's good communication because that's respectful and it's not offensive to anybody because you both are just trying to form, to see whether a relationship will work and like to communicate whether what you want is what they want and see whether you could be together and we guys are compatible or not, you know? And it's like, it's not a big deal. And if like the shortest romances, like fleeting romances can sometimes, and it always hurts. When things end, it always hurts. But it's really important to not be afraid of that because you will meet someone else. You will. It's impossible not to. And another thing is to choose courage and vulnerability always because you're trying to share your life with another person and you're trying to accept somebody else's life onto yours. You have to be vulnerable. Like, what's the point of hiding anything? If you're going to be in a relationship, you're not going into a relationship thinking it's going to be over. You're thinking that you're going to be with them for a long time. So why not just be open? And so openness is, and vulnerability and courage is always taken well. Always. And if it's not, then you leave because that's a red flag. And because that means that they're not ready for something. Because I was just like scrolling on the internet. I mean TikTok. I was scrolling on TikTok and I came across this video where she was a psychologist and she says that people will only go as deep with you as they are willing to go with themselves or have gone with themselves. So if they can't handle your stuff, then they haven't gone through that journey themselves. And sometimes like people just cannot comprehend the things that you've gone through and you've experienced, and that's okay. And that just means that perhaps they're not your person, and that's okay because you'll find your person. Never lessen your standard. Never. Never compensate for something that is so pivotal within your life, such as like your identity. Don't do that. And also another thing to remember when you're navigating a new relationship, it is that it is an honor and privilege to have you in their life. You need to understand that kind of respect for yourself because you are a prize. You are not an option. That's the thing that I mentioned that a couple of episodes ago when we talk about what I've learned so far. It's that you are a prize. You are not an option. It is a privilege that somebody gets to be in your life and you sharing your life with them and them sharing your life with you because each life is valuable and everybody has something to learn from each other and you have a gift to give to them and you just have to honor yourself and always place yourself highly, always, because if you can't do that, nobody else can. And also another one is to prioritize self-care and do check-ins with yourself. Like, is this okay? Do I feel good about this? Because if you don't, you get out. You don't have an obligation to be with a person at all. You don't belong to them. You don't sign a contract to be in a relationship unless you get married, in which case that is a contract. But at that point, you'd know. You know, like, you know you want to spend the rest of your life with them. So that should be fine. But you always have to prioritize you. And so that way you don't also, like, lead your identity to another person, because that's also super dangerous. It's like you melt into the other person. Suddenly you're not you anymore. You don't know what you love. You don't have the space to like do the things that you used to like doing by yourself anymore. And that's a sad feeling to lose bits of your identity. I feel like I went through that a lot with my past boyfriend. Probably the very first one, my very, very first boyfriend, I literally faked my entire personality just so I can be with this guy. It lasted for, oh God, I always say it's 3 months, but I feel like it's less than that. It was probably less than that because I was flicking through my diary and I was like, that's weird. How come this relationship has ended already? but I guess it has. So this was back in 2015. Oy, oy, oy. What a youngin. But yeah, like I told him that I liked hip hop. I literally don't listen to hip hop at all. I don't like it. It's so aggressive for no reason. When I say like, I just mean like rap and yeah, like that kind of stuff. I can't believe I literally did research as we would text and like to be able to talk to him about this stuff. And then in real life, before we would go on dates, I would have to like read up about all the music that he's like been listening to, just so I know what the heck's going on with the artists like at the moment. And I just had to pretend that I liked rap and hip hop, even though all I listened to were like screamo music, like pop and show tunes. Like that's... I don't know why I did that. The worst. And relationships like that never last. They don't. Because, like, you're not true to yourself. You can't just play a role for the rest of your life. That's not healthy. It doesn't feel good either. It makes you feel icky. And also, there is a game that you can play with your friends, maybe at a sleepover, you know, when you're doing your thing. It's called the 50 years game. So sit around with your friends, you know, with all your gal pals, your boy pals who are in relationships as well or not, and you think about your relationship and say if the relationship stays exactly to the T the way it is right now, like not talking about like what was happened in the past or what could happen potentially with your partner in the future, if the relationship is exactly as it is for the next 50 years, would you be happy with that? If you are, then yeah, you probably want to stay. But if you're questioning it, then it's time to reflect and maybe, you know, talk to your partner. So with that in mind, we are going to take a little bit of break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about what is a healthy relationship. Stick around, you guys. Okay, welcome back to Gen Y, you guys. So in this segment, we're going to talk about what is a healthy relationship. We've gone through the whole motions today, haven't we? We're like, signs of toxic relationships. And then second, we're like, how to navigate one that's like new and fresh and how to not fall into that weird toxic trap. And now we're like, what is it supposed to feel like? What is a healthy relationship should look like and should feel like? So in healthy relationships... Oh God, take a drink every single time I say healthy relationship. The shape of that space will be fluid and open to change. So adaptable. Oh, wow. Really makes you think, doesn't it? Because that means people in that relationship allow for space to grow. People will move to accommodate the growth and flight of each other. So... It just reminds me of this song by Ben Platt called Grow As We Go. That is a beautiful song. It's about the ending of a relationship, but take it out of context and you get this line that says, you can ebb and I can flow. And I think that's a very beautiful thing because there is always that notion of like, you need to be separated to be able to grow. But really, people can grow within relationships. It's just like how artists... You don't get good at drawing from like little bursts of excitement and like inspiration. You get good with consistency, with doing it every single day, and with repetition. And it's just like the growth comes from that stability. And that's kind of the same, like similar to relationships, is that you are able to grow as people. You don't limit each other. In fact, like the sky is your point of view, you know, as Justin Bieber said in that one song. and it's not the limit. And another thing that I want to say is that love never holds people back from growing. It doesn't diminish people. It doesn't contaminate people. If somebody loves you, it feels like love. It's not supposed to feel like you're breaking yourself apart just to be with this person. It never feels like a sacrifice. It's never feel like you're submitting to something. It will never feel like a compromise if that makes sense. Like, okay, maybe the word compromise is a little different in this context. Like, because obviously it's a give and take with the relationship. So it always is. But what I mean when I say compromise is that it's never out of force, the compromise that happens. It's always a choice. It's always you choose to do something and they choose to do something. I think that's important. It's that you have a choice. Always. You always have a choice. You're never trapped in things. It will always feel like love if somebody loves you. It feels supportive and nurturing and life-giving. If it doesn't do this, it's not love. It's self-serving crap designed to keep you tethered and bound to someone else's idea of how you should be. So let's not fall into that. There is no such thing as a perfect relationship, obviously, but a healthy one is tolerant, loving, it's accepting, it's responsive. Responsive, I feel like it's a very, very important keyword because that means you can adapt, you listen, the bare minimum, essentially, right, of being a good person. But also, like, you keep your promises. You don't, like, try to break their trust or anything. It should feel like home. A healthy relationship should feel like home. You're unafraid to speak your mind. And I think the past relationship, like, my most recent relationship, a previous to this one, like, my ex-boyfriend, that he felt like home to me. And the one before that also felt like home to me. I was never afraid to speak my mind. Well, the second last one, that got like mega toxic towards the end. So I just kind of kept my mouth shut. But for most of it, it felt like home. It felt like I could just breathe and relax. And you know you're supported. I think that's the thing that I want to leave off with today. Thank you guys so much for listening into this episode of Gen Y with Asphira. Today's episode has been feeling like a bit of a an advice column, shall we say. But I hope it's like really helpful for you guys. It was really good for me to talk about this stuff, seeing as also I'm also navigating a new relationship. So I guess we'll see how that goes. It's going good so far. We're going steady. So it's okay. I hope you guys enjoy the rest of your day and I'll see you guys next week. Ciao.